anyone been getting anything out of that this month?
That is a weak woo.
Come on. 6 weeks talking about love. Last week we talked about kids.
Hey man, how about young ones in the church? A lot of times when the pastor gives you an opportunity to woo, when I was young as a kid, I'd be like, woo!
Right.
My dad and mom would look at me and I'm like, what? The pastor said give a shout.
Pastor said.
Amen. So you young ones in the house, man, when pastor says give a shout, y'all can lift your voice too. Some of you be like, I ain't lifting nothing. but praise God. We're excited about it. So we're going to go ahead and get this off the table. Amen. You're going to have some water? She's going to have some water. We always have fun. How many of you know church should be, I say this all the time, church should be the funnest place you go to. Come on. It should be the funnest place. David is getting us adjusted. How many of you know the camera is going to be going in the ceiling soon, so we won't have to be distracted by a camera on a tripod or a camera phone. Amen. And so let us know. Are we ready to go live? All right, let's go live. Praise God. Hallelujah. We live. Ready, set, go. Hallelujah. my spouse. So we want to welcome everyone that is online. Praise God. And we're excited that you're with us today. And so we're wrapping up our Love Revolution series. Mm-hmm. And today we're talking about part 6, Better Together. Mm-hmm. And so we've hit pretty much every aspect of the love of God. And if you want to go back in the archives, you can go. How many of you know in the house and online, you can go back to Facebook, or you can go to Destiny Church WNC Facebook page or destinychurchwnc.com, and we put an audio recording up, but also we're moving our video content from Facebook and putting a link in there so you can actually watch. How many of you know we are in the season that we're in as a church, and we're growing to be better every single service. Amen. Audio, video, praise God, that technology today that we're able to produce online content. Amen. Folks can get online. So if you're following us today and there's something that you like online, put a comment in there that blessed you. Share it with somebody else. Throw some hearts, throw some likes in there. We have folks that watch us. You say, well, a lot of folks watch you. We actually had folks that reach out to us and they said, listen, we watch every single week from Arizona. We haven't found a home church yet. And how many of you know they've been to our house, they know our church, and we're family. Amen. And so we know who they are. And so Chris and George, if you're watching, God bless you. We love you, as many as all the others that are watching, but we're so thankful that they were here, but now they're out in Arizona, and they're doing some pretty awesome things out there. And so I'm going to throw this out there. Chris and George are starting a coffee business. Actually, it has been started, but they're doing some pretty dynamic things. And so pray for Chris and George and their coffee business. You think about them during the week. They support Destiny. They believe in Destiny. They're friends and family of Destiny Church. And many of you, raise your hand. You remember George. They've visited Chris a couple times, and they're just a great blessing to us. And so we thank Rick and Trina Frost. They introduced us, and you say, well, what's with that? Because God puts people into your life to encourage you. Amen. And though they're in Arizona and we're here in North Carolina, and Rick and Trina are down in Florida or on their way back to Florida off their vacation, praise God. How many of you know God uses the body of Christ to stir one another up, to encourage one another? Amen. And so I don't find it odd that when God puts people together, he knows the gift in you, he knows the gift in them. And how many of you know when you get God's people together and you get that gifting working, come on, it produces some pretty miraculous things. Praise God. Amen. Dave, could you make sure that we stay centered? Amen. And so today we want to close out this series. And of course, of all the principles we've discussed the last 5 weeks, how many of you know this love can be applied in all areas that we've talked about? But today I want to equip and empower you, because we're going to talk a little bit about marriage. Does anybody remember Princess Bride? You ever seen the movie Princess Marriage? Remember the guy? Marriage is the priest, the guy that was in there. If you don't know what I'm talking about, go in there. It's a bad time to be funny. But I just got a kick out of the movie when he would say marriage. He would say marriage. Marriage is. But we're going to talk a little bit about husbands and wives. And there's no better illustration to convey marriage other than a bicycle built for two. Has anybody ever seen those bicycles, those where both people can get on it? Has anybody ever ridden one of those? I can honestly say I never have. I've seen them. But how many of you know that two people can get on one bike and you actually don't have to fight each other, right? I've seen it. I watched a couple one day where they were fighting each other. And one was pedaling one way and they weren't in the proper timing. But they ended up getting what? In sync.
Yeah.
And so it was pretty cool. And so I was just over at Pigeon Forge this weekend and I saw a lot of people riding their bikes. And I'm like, okay. And then there goes that couple on that double bike. And I thought, are they going to make it? You know what I mean? And sometimes marriage can be like that double bike. You know, we're on it together. And the goal is to be in sync. Amen. So we're going to go ahead and get this thing started.
So because of the way that that bike is, you know, manufactured, you have to be pedaling together in order to stay balanced, right? If you're fighting one another, it's going to fall over or somebody's going to be working extra hard. So all too often in a marriage, in a relationship, one person gets their feelings hurt, so they stop pedaling. Or in other words, they stop trying.
Yep.
And one person feels like they're carrying the load. Anybody been there before?
Oh,
we're talking about marriage specifically, but how about friendships and other relationships?
Amen.
Then the other person gets tired quicker. And so suddenly the marriage is at a standstill. Because, of course, they don't want to try anymore if you're not going to try. So he or she tries to work on the marriage and then she doesn't.
Mm.
Then she tries and he won't. So the marriage drives like a 15-year-old learning to drive a stick shift. Grinding and stopping and all that kind of thing.
Who, let me say it like this. Who in here has driven stick shift? Do you remember the first time you ever driven stick shift?
You know.
When I grew up here, and I used to work for our local lumber company, and they put me in a 1963-64 flatbed pickup truck. And so I was learning how to drive. It was like a three-quarter ton truck. Or one to three-quarter ton, one ton, and I remember it had a flat of wood. It was a dump bed, and, you know, and anybody remember Stovall's Lumber Company baggers? Yeah, and that was my first stick experience, and you had to double, one of the trucks, you had to kind of double clutch and shift, so it was kind of rough.
So because, you know, if we're not working together, it gets difficult,
Amen.
Right, and it's extremely rough. Well, God said it's not good for a man to be alone, and he created Eve out of Adam. It says in Ecclesiastes 4:9-12, it says, two people are better off than one, for they can help each other succeed. That's Ecclesiastes 4:9-12.
Amen.
See, marriage is meant to complement one another, not complete one another.
What do you mean? You mean it's you're what? It's not mean to be a competition. What do you mean?
No.
Oh.
No.
And if I mean, they want to hear.
Else,
they want to hear.
Back.
They want to hear both of our voices this morning.
So yeah, Amen. And a lot of times people get into marriage with the wrong perception. It's not to complete you. It's to complement.
Amen.
See, in the beginning, marriage was designed for two people to enter into the relationship and form something different than either of them is on his or her own. So when you come into a relationship of marriage, you are who you are.
Amen.
And when you get married, the person you marry should be making you better.
Amen.
And vice versa.
Amen.
So marriage is meant for complete people. That's not broken people or hurting people. It's for complete people to come together and build a we that is bigger
Amen.
And better than either one of the I's involved.
Amen.
It was not designed to make you a whole person, but to give your wholeness a new range of experience.
Amen.
If one or both of the people coming into a marriage are looking for the marriage to complete them as individuals, then the marriage will break down. So let's continue reading in Ecclesiastes. In verse 10, it says, if one person falls, the other one can reach out and help. But someone who falls alone is in real trouble. Likewise, two people lying close together can keep each other warm. But how can one be warm alone.
Amen.
A person standing alone can be attacked and defeated, but two can stand back to back and conquer. Three are even better, for a triple braided cord is not easily broken.
Praise God. That's so, a good word.
Yeah, because I love this scripture. What so it's talking about is in more than just marriage, but we're going to keep it focused on marriage this morning. I know a lot of folks that have had marriage relationships are either divorced or widowed, maybe never got married before, but everything we're covering today is in line with first love, but then also can be carried into every relationship. And specifically for marriage, this is something where the two of you are completing, are complementing one another, not completing one another, which means that I need to find my wholeness in Christ. And that when you come together, you've already got a plan. You already have an initiative. You've already got motivation to live for the Lord and to serve God and to raise kids and to have a home. You're not looking for the other person to lift you up and pedal the bike on their own when you don't feel like it. So why do you think the enemy works so hard to cause division in our marriages? Jesus said, a house divided will not stand. And I love that third or that triple braided cord depiction, because marriage is good, but marriage centered on Christ is even better. See, because you can come together, and I've seen marriages where they're not born again necessarily, but they've got each other's back. How much stronger when he is submitted to God and she is submitted to God, and they work together with the Holy Spirit, getting each other's back at the same time. That is a triple braided cord that the enemy cannot break. See, he does this by bringing to your remembrance everything that even slightly irritates you about your spouse, and it makes a nest in your thoughts. And see, Satan believes the scripture more than we do. And that's why he does this, because he knows there is power in agreement. It says in Matthew 18:19, I also tell you this, if two of you agree here on earth concerning anything you ask, my Father in heaven will do it for you. See, if Satan can keep a married couple from agreeing with one another and get one of them to agree with him, see, he understands the power of agreement. If I can just get them to agree with me, then it's me and them against them.
And think about this, even in relationships, just, you know, we're talking about marriage here, but thinking about your friendships. How many of you know your friendships are very much like a marriage relationship per se, if I could say it that way, because there is love. There is patience. There is time. There is money. There is gift, talents, and all of that has been put into the relationship over years. And how many of you know one idle word spoken? How many of you know Ephesians 6 says Satan sends fiery darts? Those thoughts, ideas, and suggestions, not only to your marriage, to your friendships. Come on, he likes for your ear. Come on, to grab those subtle little thoughts of you're just not good enough. That's why she's just ignoring you a little bit this week. Does that sound a little bit like division? She's not listening to you a little bit. Come on. Even in our own marriage, there's times where we've been married just 15 short years. And I can tell you with all that's going on in our life. And I'm like, Lord, is Rachel listening to anything that I'm saying? And how many enemy, if you don't, you know, 2 Corinthians 10 talks about grabbing thoughts, right? That are contrary to God's words. That there are thoughts that are John 10:10. What? The thief come, but to what? Steal, kill, and destroy. Jesus said, I have come that you may have life and have it more abundantly. So Satan is that thief who wants to steal. He wants you to what? He doesn't want you being braided together, connected together.
Right.
And how many of you know, even if you go, we're getting ahead of ourselves, but even if you go through a little bit of trials and tribulation, I mean, you know, like James says, even in marriage and friendship and relationships, you do what James chapter 1 says, you can count it all joy. Come on, you can work through things together. We talk many times, what, you and I talk things out. And you say, you know, honey or babe, she calls me babe. You know, I feel like Sonny and Cher. I got you, babe. But anyway, you say you're 41. What do you know about Sonny and Cher? I listen to a lot of old music. But I know she say, I got you. I'm listening to you. And a lot of times she'll apologize and just be like, listen, I'm, you know, forgive me. I heard you. but I didn't acknowledge you. Amen. How many of you know something as simple as that? You say, well, that's this petty. How many of you know something as simple as not giving acknowledgement can put you in a position, listen, where there's division? You don't need a preacher, a prophet, or an apostle to pray for you. You all have the power you need sleeping in your bed.
That's so what for do you spouses so it's for only. Spouses only.
Amen.
So basically what we're saying here is a lot of times you can have the enemy try to get thoughts, ideas, and suggestions that are coming at you against your spouse. And it wants to create a nest in your mind and try to just sit there. But the fact is that they're not the enemy.
Amen.
The enemy is the enemy. And you don't have to go seeking someone else to give you a word of knowledge when the person in your bed, your husband, your wife, is right there to help you succeed. See, everyone in this room who's married, say this with me, my spouse is not my enemy. Yes, we can say
that. Is not the enemy.
Yes, so consider how powerful you are together.
Amen.
Now look, again, this is preparing people for the future if you're looking to get married again or for the first time. If you're both believers, and listen, for those who are single, do not spend time, don't waste time with someone who is not, hoping that one day maybe I'll lead them to the Lord. Let him handle that. Let him handle that and you move on. Because even though you can be friends, getting married to someone who's not born again will only drag you down. And it cannot be you as the Savior bringing them to Christ. It needs to be him being the Savior. Amen. So if you're both believers, you are more than conquerors. Amen. So we must have a two-eyed vision for the marriage.
Well, we must have a two-eyed vision for the marriage. And have you ever seen a person that has a patch over their eye? Everybody right now, if you're watching online or in the house, take one hand, put it over one eye. Amen. And one eye is good and you can see. But how many of you know when you have both eyes, take your hands off. How many of you know when you have both eyes, you have a more clear perspective? Amen. So you can still see with one eye, but how many of you know you could see with two and you have a more clear perspective? And see, two are better than one. Say it with me. Say two are better than one. And see, two creates alignment. You know, together you form one vision.
Amen.
You don't have two different visions as a marriage couple. You have one vision. And here's an example. You know, Rachel brings her views and insights. I bring my views and insights. But we talk those things out together, right? We've done that. Would you say we've done that many times before? We've talked things out. How many of you know Philippians 2:2 says this? It says, then make me truly happy by agreeing wholeheartedly with each other. Underline that, agreeing wholeheartedly with each other. Loving one another and working together with what? One mind and one purpose. Well, what is Paul talking about here? He's talking about alignment. Two are better than one. See, there's power in agreement, guys. Amen. There's power in agreement. And so we must work together to pursue the same vision. You know, if I think she is going left and I'm turning right, listen, how many of you know we're in a little bit of trouble? And there's times, I'd say in 15 years, we're like, I feel like we should go this way. Well, I feel like we should go this way. And it's time, what? We're kind of hearing and praying out some things. Then what do? We get together so, again, we can have one vision. Some of you are sitting in this room and you're like, I long and dream for this. Don't long and dream. If your spouse is not in the desired place that needs to be, or you feel like they need to be, how many of you know there's prayers as believers, if they're Christians, how many of you know Ephesians prayers, Ephesians 1 and 3, you can pray over your spouse?
Amen.
And how many of you know when you start praying for God to do a work in your spouse, how many of you know he's first going to start doing a work in you?
Mm-hmm.
He's going to start ministering to you. Would you say that's true?
Yep.
There's a lot of times she's told me, man, I was praying for you over 15 years. And some things that we've gone through. And she said, after we talked about it, it was always like, the Lord always seemed to work on me. Always. And open your heart for that. Amen. And so there's power in agreement. So you can be leaning and tuning and turning. Listen, there could be chaos. You know, all things are happening to keep you from being in agreement. Listen, and this is how I would like to say this, is how do you stay in the power of agreement? How do you do it? And this is the thing. I want to say this. Sit down together. Get your notepads out. Mm-hmm. Husbands and wives. I'm just going to think this thing out. Get a pen and piece of paper. Sit down. Talk things out. Write things out. Listen, list everything you hate, you dislike, and are bothered by in the relationship, and you will find your vision. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Amen. Mm-hmm. And this is where it could be a little bit. We've actually done this. Mm-hmm. There were some long lists. Mm-hmm. But the thing about it is, what was funny with ours, it wasn't that there was a long list of negatives. We actually found there's a great list of positives. Do you see what we're saying here? And so what you need to do is turn it around to find the positive. Amen. You know, in the marriage, sometimes all we can do is focus on the negative. What are we saying? We must have a two-eyed vision for the marriage. Yeah. And so there's no use for Rachel to go left and me to go right. No, we need to be in agreement, agreeing mm-hmm. wholeheartedly, Philippians 2, with each other. Loving and working together. So if there's things, right, Lori? There's things I just don't like in our relationship. I mean, you could sit down and talk things out. And let me say it again. A lot of people I find, and we've had seasons where we didn't want to do this because you know what? You're going to address some issues with one another that you might and haven't been addressed before, or it might be a sensitive situation. Do you understand that? How many of you would say in years of marriage, you've been married and you've had to address situations and you know you're going to have to do that because you need to get agreement on the scene. You need to be in agreement. That way you're not working off of one eye. You got two eyes. Mm-hmm. You have clear vision. So Habakkuk 2:2 says this. It says, write a vision, make it plain upon a tablet so that a runner can read it.
Mm-hmm. Amen.
And so what are you saying? Let me say this again. Get a plan. And get going the same direction.
Mm-hmm.
We need to be in the same direction.
Mm-hmm.
Amen. Need to be in the same direction.
So what are your goals in marriage? Obviously, it's not to kill each other. But see, like, he and I would plan when really it comes down to, like, just intimate conversation.
Yeah.
When there's no heightened emotions, when you're just relaxed. Might be in front of the TV, might be over coffee. And you just start to share. We would talk about our future, ministry, kids, that kind of thing. And then moving into that reality, then we just start talking about our dreams and what we're still believing for. We need to allow each other to move forward in our heart as far as our passions and our desires. And then we can begin to support each other in those things. And so as you develop the list, as you develop what it is that you're believing for, you begin to support one another. You get behind each other. Because remember, we're complementing each other, not completing one another. There's going to be things that God calls you to as a couple, as a family, as individuals. And when it is an individual thing, it's not that, okay, so I'm not married anymore when I go do this. It's, no, I need to communicate with my spouse.
Amen.
But then I'm also, the other spouse is going to say, well, I'm supporting you. I'm all the way there. I may not be there physically. I may not be good at what you do in this particular area, but I'm praying for you and I'm believing for you. So we need to allow each other to lead based upon one another's strengths. And this is not to be a competition. There's nothing wrong with him being stronger in something, ladies, that you need to feel like you need to rise above and challenge that. You can step back and allow him to, first of all, be the head of you. As Paul said, he is the head of the wife. That doesn't mean that she's a doormat. That doesn't mean that she doesn't have a voice. That means he's accountable.
Amen.
He's responsible.
Amen.
And so because he's going to have to stand in front of the Lord on your behalf, you might as well be as easy and helpful as possible so that you're not the one causing a strain on him. At the same time, he's also going to be accountable for the family and how that family was run, how whatever it is we were called to was fulfilled. And so it's okay. And then, guys, it is okay to let the ladies lead. It's all right if they're strong in a particular area, whatever that might be. It's not a threat against the masculinity. It's the strength and gifting that God has placed inside of her.
You know, 1 Peter 5, 2 through 3 says this. It says, care for the flock that God has entrusted to you. Watch over it willingly, not grudgingly. And here, underline this statement. This is really good. It says, not for what you will get out of it, but because you are eager to serve God. Verse 3 says, don't lord it over the people assigned to your care, but lead them by your own good example. And that was in the New Living Translation. Philippians 2, if we'll put that up. Philippians 2, 3, and 4 says this. It says, don't be selfish. Don't try to impress others. Be humble, thinking of others as better than yourself. Don't look out only for your own interest, but take an interest in others too. So, like we're saying, allow each other to lead based on strength. How many of you know everybody thinks that washing clothes is just for the ladies? How many of you know, even though I hate washing laundry, and you said hate's a strong word, I strongly dislike doing laundry, but I have been taught from my youth how to do laundry. Come on. Colors go together. The other different colors go together. How many of you know when you put on a nice black shirt and it's your favorite shirt and it's got little white little things because somebody that doesn't know what they're doing put the towels in there and all that towel fuzz got all over your nice shirts that you spent $30 and $40 for,
hey.
And so it's not a competition, but anyways, but truthfully, how many of you know that I love doing the laundry, but we'll alternate that. It's, I don't think that's your favorite either, is it?
No, it just has to be done, so somebody's got to do it. No, but even though there might be strengths that each one of us bob up to the surface on, this is not for the other spouse to just say, okay, well, I'm just going to check out.
Yep.
And just, you know, because sometimes it brings insecurity. Yep. It really does. And it's not permission to say, well, I'm just going to come halfway when it comes to this. You know, it's kind of like, well, somebody comes to you about a question, a concern, and you're like, you know what? That's better for that spouse. Instead of just saying, I'm going to try to get this and handle this. You know what? It's for them. But then I'm going to support their decision.
Amen. So think about the bike. Remember the two-seated, where both of you are on the bike? And you're pedaling, remember, you're pedaling together. That's the whole goal, is to pedal together. And it's sometimes you may, how many times you've been riding your bike and you miss the pedal? I've done that before where I'm like, oh, slip. I miss and I slip. But how many of you know, in a marriage, she keeps pedaling or I keep pedaling and we just get right back on track and we start working it together. And she may put her head down and pedal harder for a season. And there may be seasons where, you know, you put your head down, you know, and you pedal hard for a season. Again, what we're saying is allow each other to lead based on one another's strengths. It may be just grilling, washing clothes. Let's just be practical here.
Yeah.
You know, we talk
about all spiritual
stuff. It's not all spiritual. Some of the things in marriage, it's the simple natural things. My pastor says it like this. It's the natural and the supernatural working together to make an explosive force for God. A lot of times we can be focused so much on the spiritual. I mean, in marriage, it is these practical, natural little things that can create, how many know, a big fire, if you must. And so reduce the distractions to avoid the crash. Reduce the distractions. One of the leading causes of accidents today is what?
Electronics.
Electronics. I'm laughing at this one.
Definitely. And, you know, you can allow electronics, for example.
We're laughing because we came into an agreement here recently and said we're really going to work hard on this because we both do everything off our phones and our computers.
Right, everything. Communication.
But we've come to an agreement that our kids, we find our kids doing what we're doing.
Right.
And although we're all in the same house, how many of you know there's not much conversation going on? And so we looked up one day and we seen everybody on devices. And so our family, and we enjoy that because we're together. But I thought, we got to work on this.
Well, I'll be honest, you know, sometimes for me being with the kids all day, it's like, oh, everyone's on a tablet. Okay, quiet time for just a minute. But, you know, when you're together in the same room, like he was saying, you know, a lot of times it comes down to, I want you to show me that I'm important.
Yep.
And just like with the pedaling aspect, you know, you might switch seats for the front seat, but the other person is still pedaling. However, if you're distracted in the front seat, you're going to crash because the second pedal is not going to be able to push that thing forward. You're going to fall over, or vice versa. The second one might be distracted and you're not pedaling anymore. And the first one is like wearing themselves out. Like, where'd you go? And you're going to fall over because they're getting tired. There's other distractions, like obviously electronics, but overworking, overcommitting.
Yep.
basically saying, hey, I know this is our date night, but I told so-and-so I'd do this instead. Or maybe, hey, could we take a drive for a minute?
Yep.
And you're going, well, we've got this thing in the evening. Okay, well, what can I help you with so we can do the drive and we can do the event so you're not overcommitting and overworking by yourself? So learning to say no. Mm-hmm. See, we were just talking last week how we need to have priorities.
Yes.
God first, marriage Amen. Second, kids third. And obviously, if you're not married, if you don't have kids, God first and then job and that kind of thing. But you need to learn to say no, because there will always be something. There will always be an emergency. There will always be somebody pulling on you. And if that person or thing is constantly, and I'm not saying that you can't give exceptions, because I know sometimes things happen and your spouse can be understanding about that. But if it's constantly trying to go for second place, mm-hmm. second place, you're going to have issues. So you need to learn to say no. You need to use discretionary time as well. Turning off the TV, turning off social media, watching, maybe if you do watch TV, making sure that the kids are in bed, that the phones are put away,
watch
and you're watching
together.
A movie together intentionally.
Amen.
You know, there's easy ways to fall into just vegging.
I think we can all relate.
You're working all day. Yeah. You've been like, he works out in the grass, you know, so he's been in the sun all day. He's
mowing
tired.
Lawns.
He's hot. I've
weed
been
eating.
With the kids all day. They're finally in bed. And just to have that sense of cold air conditioning and quiet.
Yep.
And we're like, don't say a thing. Just we're vegging. So you can have those moments, but you need to be intentional. Not sure, you know, as far as why we aren't protective of our family time, sometimes you're just busy. You're constantly moving around. And I know sometimes it's harder when you're a single parent putting kids to bed and having that space. But look, this can also carry into your time with God.
Come on.
Be intentional. Amen. Be intentional. Have time with your spiritual father, with your spiritual husband if you're a woman, and obviously your father if you're a man. You just need that time with your father, because no one else is going to fight or defend your marriage more than you are.
Amen.
And a lot of times people who aren't fighting for their marriage find out that they're on the rocks heading for divorce.
Yep.
And it didn't happen overnight, but now all of a sudden, surprise, they're hit upside the head with something. And it's because either one of them was vegging, one of them was, you know, getting into mischief, or one of them was just falling asleep and over busy. Things happen when you're not being intentional towards one another.
So moving on to another point of view here, talking about love revolution in our series here. Listen, it's not my job. Underline that word right there if you're taking notes. It's not my job to keep, or let me say it like this. It is my job. I think I need somebody's glasses this morning. Amen. It's not my job to do laundry, but it is my job to keep myself filled. And we were just talking about spending time with the Lord. You know, here's the thing. Anybody ever seen a water bottle? How many of you know a water bottle, when you first open it, it is what? Filled. Mm-hmm. Amen. And how many of you know God is a water bottle that'll never run out? Do you understand that? You're never going to exhaust. How many of you know this is right here is a good water bottle and it's empty? But how many of you know with God, liken him to a water bottle, you'll never exhaust the presence of God. You'll never exhaust him. Amen. And so here's the thing. It's my job to keep myself filled. I am responsible to do what? I'm responsible to drink and stay hydrated. You know, when you're out on a bike riding and the both of you are pedaling, how many of you know you're going to experience a little bit of dehydration? There's times you may feel a little dehydrated. What do you do when you feel dehydrated? You hydrate, right? Yes. Ash is like right here. Exactly. You get water or your Gatorade or whatever it is. And what do? You hydrate yourself. You get those electrolytes in your body. You get yourself replenished. You get your fuel up. Amen. And how many know that I can't drink for Rachel? You know, when I'm in my marriage relationship, I can't drink for Rachel. Mm-hmm. You know, when she goes to the cup, you know, Jesus is the cup that never runs dry.
Amen.
Ever runs dry. You know, he never runs dry. And when you drink from that cup every day as a couple, you know, we talk about this all the time, that when we go before the Father, You know, in the marriage relationship, it's not her first, it's God first. We always say this, we go up and then we come down and come together. And I can't drink for her and she can't drink for me. And listen, you're setting your marriage up to fail. Listen, you're setting your marriage up to fail if you put her or him number one all the time. God needs to be your number one, and you need to let God, who has an endless cup, to fill you. Come on, when you get to his presence and you worship him and you praise him, listen, he is our strength. The Bible says he is our comforter. Listen, and he is our helper. Stop leaning on your spouse to be your healer, your provider, your comforter, and your helper and your strength. Listen, you can lean, but your spouse is not Father God. Listen, Jesus has to be your number one. Isaiah 41:10. If you got your Bibles out or your apps on your phone, and we got it on the screen, Isaiah 41:10 says this. It says, "Don't be afraid, for I am with you. Don't be discouraged." Here's Isaiah speaking. "For I am your God. I will strengthen you and I will help you." Amen. And listen, "and I will hold you up with my victorious right hand." You notice he didn't say limp right hand. He said my victorious right hand. Philippians 4:12 says this. Paul says, "I know how to live on almost nothing or with everything. I have learned the secret of living in every situation, whether it is full, whether it is with a full stomach or empty with plenty or little." Verse 13, grab this. "For I can do everything." Listen, underline this statement. Come on, these are shouting words right here. "I can do all things or everything through Christ." Listen, not my spouse. "I can do all things through Christ who gives me strength." Now, can your spouse help strengthen you? Absolutely. But they are not the divine source of strength.
Right.
God is.
Right.
Jesus is.
Right.
And another way to keep yourself filled is the need for godly relationships. This is why we were talking earlier about the 4th of July events and things like this. It's time to sit together and eat hot dogs and hamburgers, or maybe if you're vegetarian or you don't eat meat or whatever your situation is, listen, you bring your favorite food and you get together and you fellowship. You have that koinonia with one another. And again, it's he is our strength.
Amen.
And let me say it, it's not my job to keep myself filled. Is that what I just said?
No.
Come on, are you with me this morning? Y'all are looking at me.
Amen.
I'm trying to mess with you this morning. Listen, it is my job to keep myself filled. It is not my job to keep her filled.
Right.
Amen.
And that's where you have to have that completeness before the marriage instead of trying to find your completeness in your spouse. See, because the way God designed us, he created us, was so that we would gravitate to him.
Yep.
He would be our all in all. He would be our everything.
Amen.
But before we find him, our spirit is searching for him.
Yep.
It may not realize that, but then when we get married, we're thinking, oh, well, that's the key.
Yep.
That's the one. They're going to fix it all. And this is where the myth says that someday we are going to get to that coast. We're still on the pedal or the bike pedaling, right? One day we're going to get to the coast and have smooth sailing.
Not.
So our number six point is hills, potholes, and ditches are all a part of the marriage journey. You might find yourself hitting potholes. You might find yourself in a ditch together. That doesn't mean you fell out of love. And it doesn't mean you married the wrong person. It means that you're on a journey. There may have been a mistake. There might have been just a situation that got a little out of control, or maybe it's just been rough. But that doesn't mean that that's the sign that God is saying, okay, it's time for a divorce. God will never tell you, let's go towards a divorce.
Amen. What you do is you get your spirit, you go to Lowe's, right? You get asphalt patch at Lowe's, right? You patch things. Well, you go to the Lord, you go to the one who is the full cup, who is your provider and comforter, and you get that spiritual asphalt patch, right? And you go to heaven, you get that spiritual wisdom and revelation and what?
Right.
And let him fill you up. And then you come back into your marriage relationship and you take that spiritual asphalt patch and you put it down and you fill the pothole. Amen.
Amen. Now, of course, you know, you can't cover every situation, but when there is a situation that the other one is not willing to get right with the Lord, you need to be led of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
So just let me, you know, explain myself in the statement I made. But, you know, we have to get real.
Yeah.
Marriage is not Hollywood, right? But it is and can be heaven on earth. And there's a myth that after 5 years, it's just going to be easier. That after the first year, it's just going to stay that way, right? Maybe after 10 years, maybe after 25, yeah. maybe 30. you know, maybe on this vacation, everything yeah. is just going to work out together. You know, how many times do we get into stupid arguments on vacation? Just trying to get on the plane, just trying to get to the beach.
And the whole
you know?
Point is to vacate. To
We're
clear
trying
the head.
To get into a peaceful spot in our relationship, and it's just not happening. So we disagree on stupid stuff. We yep. have tone issues. Well, you're not honoring me. I'm sorry. It came off wrong. I'm just irritated, you know, and I'm not trying to dishonor you. I'm not trying to disrespect you. I just hit my foot on something, and I'm not trying to be crazy. It's just happening that way. Or, you know, we have time issues. Well, I needed to meet you at this time. I understand that, but the kids, well, if you were like me, I would have the kids doing this. Okay, great, but I'm not you, and so I'm late, and I'm sorry. He drives too fast. She drives too slow. She's always trying to take control. He talks too much. She doesn't talk enough. We talk about work too much. We always talk about church. We always talk about church. Or we wrestle with spending habits because he's different than I am. So we all face uphill battles. But yep. Jesus said, in this world, you're going to have trouble.
Yep.
You mean my spouse? No.
Pothole.
That's not the trouble that he's
Pothole.
Talking about. That's talking
Keep
about
peddling.
Dealing with your own flesh and walking in love with one another. Paul said, 1 Corinthians 7:28, those who marry, and here's your prophecy right here. Here's your word of knowledge. Write it down. Those who marry will face many troubles in this life. Write it down. 1 Corinthians 7:28. See, we think and dream that at some point married life is just going to be like driving a Ferrari.
Woo! Come on.
Right? On the Autobahn. Like, I can just speed and nobody's going to stop me. And this is a beautiful car that's paid for. And we're just going to hightail it out of here.
150 miles an hour. Here we go.
Right? But see, obviously, we're looking at a two-person bike here. Yeah, you're going to have those little drives where remember that time where we had yep. that evening and we drove along the coast or we drove through the mountains or whatever. But it's not reality for an everyday week in, week out situation. Yep. We have to keep pedaling.
Yes.
We have to keep pushing and pulling. And look, a lot of times your spouse is going to get tired. But that doesn't mean that you need to become a drill sergeant and say, let's go, let's go, let's go. That means here, why don't you, while we're pushing uphill, you switch seats with me and I'll let you recoup and rest while I push some more on my effort and vice versa. We need to keep your foot on the throttle. I mean, even if you are tired, don't like completely give up where you allow the enemy to shove you into the bed and you just clock out in depression.
Yep.
No, no. You need to take authority over that because your spouse needs you.
Amen.
And God needs you to be at your best. See, when we stop, the progress of our marriage stops. And look, those kids are watching.
Yep.
When your marriage stops, your family stops.
Amen.
Your destiny stops. Everything pauses until we get back into the game. We need to stop believing the lie that we must not be right for one another if we're having these issues, if we're disagreeing. No, what tends to happen is you're not listening and you're not speaking well enough. We need to learn the listening and communicating skills. You're two unique and completely different human beings.
Amen.
First of yes. all, let's just start with one. One's female, one's male. She yes. thinks differently than he does. You know,
yep.
actually, scientifically and physiological
yep.
pictures show that the masculine brain is designed differently than the female brain. And the way that the compartments are connected, she's got more connecting tissue. And that's how women can multitask and do larger span thought patterns. But men are very distinct, and that's how they can pinpoint and conquer, and then they move on to the next thing. And see, God knew what he was doing, but we can't look at each other that says, the female sex is more important than the male sex or vice versa.
We work together.
Or that he is just different. Men are on Mars and women are on Venus. No. We were created both in his image. And Amen. If you want to get technical about it, God actually brought the female out of the male. See, his word is get back on the bike Amen. And pedal.
Don't
lay down in the ditch and ask if this is the right bike or the right partner.
Amen.
Right? Our differences are a strength, not a weakness. And this is where I think in a marriage, you need to learn to allow them to lead in their strengths and appreciate, praise those strengths. Don't compare them to yourself. Don't belittle them because you don't understand it. It's praise them because opposites attract, but eventually we often major on our differences that aren't as attractive.
No, they're not attractive sometimes.
Not at all.
Even things about eating. Is there certain things that you in the house this morning online, you're like, I love to eat. And maybe you have like your, both of you may be cooks. One of you may be cooks, but somebody in the house loves to cook. And there's things that I walk in the house after a long day. She loves to cook, but I love to cook. And since we've been married, because she loves to cook so much, I'm like, go for it, you know? And I love how she could tear up a recipe. There's times I walk in the house and I'm like, that doesn't smell very good. Has anybody ever walked in a restaurant or somewhere and you're like, you know what? It doesn't smell that good. But when it comes out and it's on a plate and it's hot and it's good food, you taste it and it's like, okay, this is good. But it wasn't smelling so great. Mm-hmm. How many times what we're saying is just another way to say it. Keep pedaling, but there's times where it may not smell good. It may not look good. Mm-hmm. But don't get so focused, again, on the pothole.
Yeah.
You're all going to face uphill battles sometimes. This mm-hmm. is where the comforter comes in. Mm-hmm. This is where the helper comes mm-hmm. in. This is where Jesus mm-hmm. and his full cup, the Father, come on, the Holy Ghost, the comforter, come on. He will lead you. Remember Jesus said this, the Holy Spirit, he's yeah. with us and yeah. in us. He'll help you, guide you, lead you. Lord, I spoke that harsh word. Come on. This is something we keep. This is an uphill battle for you. It may not be food. You know, it may just be my tongue. Mm-hmm. Lord, I'm having a hard time with my tongue and it's just, help me with that. You know, get into the word of God. Start learning scriptures about death and life that are in the power of your tongue. Mm-hmm. Find scriptures that Proverbs has a lot to say about the tongue. James has a lot to say about your tongue. Amen.
Amen.
And so wrapping today, right now, this is 5 steps to recovering from a wipeout. If you're taking notes, we're going to run through these real quickly. And so how can we avoid a wipeout? And have you ever been to the beach? Rachel and I just came back from a vacation not too long ago. And I love it when my kids go out to the ocean, whether it's tied in or tied out. But when the tide starts coming back in, the waves are crashing in, and my kids aren't paying attention at times, and we're watching them, right? But they're not paying attention. There's times where they've turned their back to the wave, and I've seen the wave just engulf and swallow up one of my kids and knock them down to the ground. So, and you know, it's funny that I see big wave surfers even out there surfing when we were out there in Florida, down there in Florida. You know, when they're under the water and they're surfing and they're engulfed, do you know they have to hold their breath for a period of time? And so, you know, if the chaos of the moment when my son gets overtaken or you can watch a surfer get overtaken, how many of you know when you're engulfed from a wipeout I watch surfing on TV. Anybody watch ESPN or any of those stations? How many of you know on TV, some TVs have a surf station? And I've watched like famous surfers like Kelly Slater and different people just get swallowed. There's a YouTuber by the name of Casey Neistat. Has anybody ever heard of Casey on YouTube? I was watching a video just yesterday how Casey got in there. And they were at a closed park, Wild Waters Park. I think it was Wild Waters or Wet n' Wild down in Florida. And he was with some professional surfers. And he was surfing, and they got the wave park going in this closed park. They got permission to get in there. And the guy turned the wave pool on. And so they're in there surfing. And Casey's in there, this vlogger that's pretty popular on YouTube. He's trying to paddle, and he's trying to get on the board. And several times he gets up. but then he just gets swallowed up by the wave. And it was just funny listening to him talk about that. And so there's practical steps to recovery. If you feel like you're being swallowed up, if you feel like, you know, you get swallowed up and you're how many of you know underwater, you can swim in the wrong direction. Mm-hmm. When you get swallowed up in the ocean, you know, has anybody ever been way out in the water where there's mm-hmm. waves, not just far from the mm-hmm. shore? I have. We've been snorkeling and there's waves coming in. How many of you know you can go the wrong direction mm-hmm. when you get pulled underwater and you're trying to get your senses back to you and you realize you're swimming out instead of swimming yeah. in? Listen, yeah. the goal in this marriage relationship is not to stay in the chaos and keep tumbling, right. but it's to get out
right. Amen.
And identify this is a wipeout. Mm-hmm. We need to get clear mm-hmm. of this thing so mm-hmm. we can get to safety. So number one, you need to be quick to apologize and forgive.
Amen. That's right.
We're avoiding a wipeout. What are the steps to practical recovery? You need to apologize. Underline that word right there. Apology. Mm-hmm. I did that, what, mm-hmm. just this week. You know, I'm like, dude, I'm sorry. I misspoke.
I think I do it every day.
Right? And so, and forgive. Listen, shut the door on strife and envy and hate and bitterness. Mm-hmm. Those are some big ones.
Yeah.
How many know strife? How many churches? Can we just talk about churches for a minute? How many know churches are full with people from all many different walks of life? How many know when we stay in the pocket of love as a body of Christ, we avoid a wipeout? Mm-hmm. How many know strife can come right in the door? Mm-hmm. Come on. Envy, hatred, bitterness, you know, it comes in fast. Mm-hmm. Amen. So whether it's your marriage or the local church or the body, listen, we're all people growing spiritually, mm-hmm. but how can you avoid a wipeout? Regardless of where you're at in your spiritual growth and walk with God, you can apologize. Mm-hmm. Come on. You don't have to be really spiritual. Come on. And like super uber mature in the Lord yeah. for 30 years to say, I'm sorry.
Right.
Amen. Christian or even non-Christian, maybe you're watching this morning and you don't have a relationship with Christ, but the principles are still applicable. Be quick to apologize and forgive. So shut the door on strife. Listen, if you've had strife and contention and you guys fell off your bicycle, listen, in the marriage, get back on the bike, mm-hmm. forgive one another, apologize to one another, work things out, and then pick your battles. Can I just say this?
Amen.
Pick your battles.
Yeah.
What do you mean, Pastor? You need to ask yourself, will this matter in the next 48 hours? Mm-hmm. Come on. How many times yep. in 15 years we've been married where we've let things just in the earlier years of our marriage, mm-hmm. just like, oh my, there's
Pastor.
Yeah. And it's just, we spent way
you'd be past the whole issue and you're still thinking about how you treated me.
Yeah. And so no one likes to constantly be picked on.
Right. So bringing those things up as well is, you know, picking your battles can be the difference from, you know, what happens right immediately or maybe something that irritates you and yep. it brings back a memory.
Yeah.
Pick your battles because the enemy wants to jump on that with strife and he wants to bring that division. Mm-hmm. So is it really that important? Didn't you tell them that you already forgave them?
Come on.
Didn't you say you were no longer going to compare to their parents?
Yep.
And to continue doing that is obviously picking the wrong battle.
Not everything is worth bringing up. Can we just say that before we close today?
Yeah.
Not everything is worth bringing back up.
Because it's called forgiveness.
Amen. So be quick to apologize and forgive. Pick your battles. And then number three.
Recognize that you may have to agree to disagree. There's many times, and I'll just get candid. We talk about kids. We talk about what we want to spend money on. Mm-hmm. And there's times where, you know, he feels like we need to go one direction. And I kind of have a strong opinion about that. And we might actually get to a point where we both have to compromise and say, okay, I get it, but I'm not happy with it. But at the same time, I'm not going to be ugly. I'm going to agree that I disagree with part of that. And you disagree with part of this. But we're going to go ahead and move forward.
And this is the thing we need to understand when we're talking about recognize you may have to agree to disagree. If there has to be a winner, then there's going to be a loser.
Right.
And if there has to be a winner all the time, there's going to be a loser.
So there's always that dominant personality in a relationship of marriage and, you know, strong opinions. We're both leaders and he's the baby of the family.
She's the oldest.
And I'm the oldest, so I learned that, you know, from the very beginning, and he learned to be the underdog, in his environment. And so we both have grown to have a very strong opinion, a very strong voice. And I might, you know, try to be all quiet and sweet and everything, but you push the wrong button and I just turn into a crazy person. And my kids will tell you, oh my word, Abby, she gives me these eyes like, really, there she goes again. But at the same time, you know, when the person trying to win is so focused on winning.
Amen.
What they're doing is they're damaging the relationship and more importantly, the individual.
Yep.
And I believe that this is where some in marriage feel like they have no voice because the other dominant person continues to talk over them, run over them, make decisions without asking them, always coming at them instead of allowing them to share. And this is where that one spouse will begin to feel unimportant, less valued, and they won't be stepping into
this
their...
This is where we need to learn that speaker-listener technique.
Yeah.
Where there's both of you in the room, one person is speaking, the other one is listening.
Mm-hmm.
And as some of you, if you need to set a timer, get your timer out.
You've got 30 seconds, and
set time limits. But let the person that is talking get things off their chest. Let them get it out. Amen. And that's something I could tell you we've had to work on in our own marriage because we're a very talk. Both of us come from that side.
No, I got to say what I want to say.
We enjoy conversation. Mm-hmm. And there's times where like we're talking over each other. We've had to learn in our own marriage. Maybe you've mastered that and I honor you and God bless you. But we're still 15 years. This is something that in our marriage, I'd have to say that we're still working on. Amen.
Right.
And so number three, recognize you may have to agree to disagree. Number four, expel the thoughts of quitting. Don't quit.
Right.
Come on, guys. We're wrapping this up right here. Don't quit. Don't quit. No. The enemy is the one who wants you to quit. Satan wants you to quit. Mm-hmm. He wants you to give up on God. Come on, Jesus, the Holy Ghost. He wants you to give up on the word of God, the body of Christ, the church.
Well, the idea of marriage, because this generation is not growing up the way some of the older generations did, where they saw an example of marriage.
Yeah.
And the younger generation is seeing that marriage is really not that great of a deal.
Yep.
Even down to the point of taxes and filing for taxes where, oh, it's better for me to just separately file. And the actuality is that marriage is such a blessing and such a divine connection that God can put people together. We can't quit. We can't quit on one another. We can't quit on Him. We can't quit on the idea of marriage. And we don't need to entertain the thoughts or dream of what it must be like to be with somebody else.
Woo.
You know, this is where the enemy tries to put his foot into what it is that we have. You've got the person God's placed you with.
Amen.
And the first thought that says, now see how he treats his wife. See how she treats her husband. Oh my goodness. If your spouse did that, it would be so much better. Well, here's the reality of that. You don't see what it's like in their home face to face. You have no idea how well suited you are for each other. You're always going to have quirks, but you don't see how that other individual that the thought crossed your mind about has a million things that would be completely irritating to you and even other ways that would not be fitting to you. So, you know, they might do something that looks amazing.
Yeah.
But you're looking at it from the outside. The spouse that you are with has been placed with you by God. And you might look back and say, well, this is how we met. I don't know that God would be happy with how we met. But listen, when you submit yourself to the Lord, you don't understand the
doesn't matter
power
what your background.
That you're allowing to come into your relationship. Even Peter said that women, if you will just do X, Y, and Z, you got to read 1 Peter. Talking about a meek and quiet spirit, being in prayer, adorning yourself with the word of God, just by having that example in front of him, or even vice versa. Maybe he's born again and she's not, and you weren't born again when you got married. But that example is showing that individual that Jesus is real, and there can be change.
And so in closing today, you know, we talked about, how many remember the five love languages that we talked about a couple weeks ago? We talked about words. We talked about give one another positive affirmation. Mm-hmm. Remember, we talked about touch. This is touch. You see me a couple times put my arm around her because she belongs to me. Praise the Lord. And how many of you know when you connect physically and touch and hug and kiss your spouse? That's big time. These are love languages, acts of service, serving someone. How many of you know servanthood or serving someone diffuses anger?
Yeah.
You want to diffuse anger in your marriage partner and your spouse? Let me show you how you can diffuse it. Take out the trash. Mow the lawn, do the dishes. Or how about just an affectionate touch? How about some words of affirmation? We have acts of service time, giving the relationship some extra time. You may need to go get a babysitter for your kids. Mm-hmm. Parents, you may need to go get a babysitter for your kids. You and your spouse need to go out for ice cream. You say, well, right now, financially, no matter what your financial situation is, come on, go for a walk. You can mm-hmm. do things that don't cost a dollar. You can go out of your door, down the driveway, and go for a nice walk and mm-hmm. hold each other's hand. And then we talked about gifts. Give a gift within 24 hours, a rose, single rose. Maybe cook a meal. You know, if you say, well, I can't cook, well, maybe just make a grilled cheese sandwich. Do something that you can do and get a can of tomato soup, right?
Right.
Some of you in here are like, yeah, I can do that. Woo! Get the tomato soup, man. Get the pan out, get it on medium, get some butter.
We'll show you
Some real butter.
Don't start a cooking channel.
Don't use margarine. No margarine.
Butter.
Get butter.
Keto
real butter. Yeah.
Butter.
Yeah. Real butter. Praise the Lord. And listen, get that can of soup out, heat it up, and serve them. If you know they're coming home, you know, honor your spouse. And let me just say this. Friends, let me just move this over to friendship for a minute. Do things that would bless your friends. Do things that would bless your friends. You know what I mean by that? Come on, Montine brought in some food to do what? To be a blessing. See, and I'm not talking about, how many of you know when people bring you food, they bring you like bad stuff that's like decayed and old? You know what I mean? And so what are you saying? I'm saying this, that as we close right now, this morning, I'm saying, don't bring decay food. She brought very excellent and very good food. We got some zucchini and some squash and some cucumbers. And you know what happened with that food? There's about 20 to 30 older generational families. We went to a retirement community of senior citizen community, and we dispersed all of that food. And it was awesome. And yes, we have a contact there, so we gave them the food. And how many of you know there's a lot of people that were blessed with many boxes of food and fresh vegetables? How many of you know when somebody looks down and they see like those little short zucchinis and cucumbers that are just like, yeah, I can't. Some of y'all are smiling at me like, I know I could do something with that. They're easy to what? Cut, right? They're easy to manure, easy to cook. Listen, when it comes to our friendships, I just wanted to plug plug it with this and just kind of wrap it with this. Marriage and your friendships. I know we're talking about marriage, words, touch, acts of service, time, and gift giving, love languages. If you want to minister to somebody and love on somebody, listen, we don't have to be like, this is sometimes, I would say it like this, trying to figure out how to say this. The Lord's just helping me say this. Some of the most spiritual things that you can do are some of the practical things to do. Like when she brought that food and said, would this bless somebody? We grabbed it and dispersed it. So many lives were touched by a zucchini and a squash. Amen. Come on, don't bring a stale, what are you saying? Well, let's just translate it over. In friendships and in marriage, don't bring stale attitude, bitterness, unforgiveness. I know we just covered this. But let's really choose today to say, you know what? I know we're talking about marriage, but you can move this over into friendships, to your family. Listen, there may be some today you leave out of here and you're just thinking about just a kind act of service. Come on, don't bring bitterness with it. Don't bring unforgiveness. Don't peel off old band-aids when you show up. Don't remind people of the hurt and pain. Just show up. Amen? Be a blessing. Show up with some food. Show up. Stop over here at Big Nick's and get some barbecue. Come on, take a rack of ribs over and say, hey, I was just thinking about you. Amen. Get a pulled pork sandwich. Anybody like pulled pork? Amen. Some of you in the house are vegetarian and you like that. I can eat both ways. I can eat anything. I can eat anyway. Meat, no meat. I can adapt to anyone and anything. I love all kinds of food. But I just noticed that's one of the most spiritual things you can do is be very practical. Be very practical. You know, go grab some food from McDonald's. Go, if you can't cook, pick some up and go see. Listen, there's some of you that are watching me right now, and I just notice in my heart that there's moms and dads and your kids. You don't have a great relationship. Listen, some of the things we talked about today, maybe your mom and dad are going through things and you're a child that's watching and you're like, my parents are going through things and I didn't just have the best example. But how many know as a child you can start today? If you're in this room, you're single, and maybe you're an adult or a child and you didn't have the best upbringing. You didn't see a godly biblical example of marriage. How many know you can break the cycle today and you can start with you? Come on, God working in you and through you right now. And you can break that cycle right now. Come on, and get God on the scene. And that way you don't have to repeat a lot of the things, come on, that you saw. Amen. Does this resonate with anybody? So I just feel like there's some kids that are watching and your older kids. You need to forgive your mom and your dad. And you need to love your mom and your dad. And you need to let them go. And you need to bless them and not curse them. You need to go pick up some food. I mean today, you need to go pick up some food. And if they're far away, you need to pick up the telephone. And you need, I feel this so strongly in my heart, that you need to forgive your parents because they are not perfect people, amen. And they've had potholes in their marriage and they've gone through things, amen. But they're doing their best, the best they know how to do, amen. And so I just encourage those that are watching, listen, especially if you're a believer in Jesus Christ and Jesus is the Lord of your life. Listen, if you're a son or a daughter, and you're watching and you're hearing this, love is in you. You have the capacity to love. Listen, let all unforgiveness and bitterness and all that go. Come on, stop the strife in the family. Amen. Let God move through you and forgive and encourage. Come on, be an encourager. Be a motivator. Be a child to your parents that brings strength and encouragement to them. Amen. When they're down, lift them up. Amen. Start today. Listen, I've heard it said like this in closing. This is like our 10th closing, but we are closing right here. Amen. You know, a lot of times you're like, I want to be that. You know, I want to be that in my marriage. Start sowing that. Amen. Start sowing those words. Start speaking life. Let your actions, come on, display the love of God. Come on, break the cycle. I'm taking my time here because I know there's those that are listening online and in this house. Come on, you're trying to figure out. I know this by the Spirit of God. You're trying to figure out, like, I don't want my... Some of you moms and dads have been divorced. You're looking at your kids and you're seeing cycles. And you're trying to figure out how to fix them. Pray for them. Believe God for them. Amen. Forgive your children. When you're around them, love them. Children that are watching... Love your mom and dad. Forgive. Let the bitterness go. Well, you don't know what they did to me. Let it go. Amen. You're hurting yourself. Amen. So I want to pray as we close out today. Maybe you're watching and you don't know Jesus. If you would stand with me today, we're going to go ahead and close out. If you're in this room or you're online, maybe you don't have a relationship with Jesus Christ. All of you in this room, I want you praying. Amen. I know those of you that are in this room today, you're all born again because I know you, many of you that are in this house, but I do want you to pray for many of those that are watching online and they don't have a relationship with Jesus Christ. If you're watching online, we want to pray with you. And if you want to start a relationship with Jesus Christ, amen, he will come into your life, he will come into your heart, and he will bring change. And I'm talking about real change, amen. Not just religious, I join a church and I join a country club. No, I'm talking about real change. I'm talking about the fire of God coming into your life. Amen. Some of you in this room today, you are a product of the gospel of Jesus Christ being taught, preached to you, and you yielded your heart and said, Lord, I want a relationship with Jesus. Amen. You sensed the authenticity. You sensed God's love. Look, listen, the Bible says that all have sinned and fell short of the glory of God. Amen. The Bible also says the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is free, and it is eternal life in Christ Jesus. So it's not relationship, and what we're talking about today is not having a fire insurance policy that I just pray this prayer, I'm going to heaven. No, when you pray this prayer, friend, and you invite Jesus into your life and into your heart and make him the Lord of your life, come on, you will have that new life. You'll have joy. Come on, the love of God in your heart, and you will see your life change, and depression and sadness will lift. Come on, joy will come, and the quality of your life will increase. How many in this room right here, you'd raise your hand boldly and say, man, Jesus in my life makes everything better. Come on, hallelujah. It makes everything better. So I want to pray with you today. I want those in this room, if you want a prayer and receive Christ, just repeat after me. Say, Heavenly Father, thank you for your son, Jesus. I believe that he died for my sins, that he was risen and raised from the dead. You said in your word, if I believe in my heart and confess with my mouth that he was risen from the dead, I shall be saved. Today, I believe and I boldly confess that Jesus Christ is the Lord of my life. Thank you, Lord, for taking out the old stony heart and putting in a new heart. I thank you. Old things are passed away. Today, I'm a new man. I'm a new woman in Christ. Fill me. Baptize me with the Holy Ghost. Set my life ablaze. Set me on fire. Fill me to the full. In Jesus' name, amen. We believe if you prayed that today, we believe you are born again. Hallelujah. You have new life in Christ, and Jesus is the Lord of your life. Amen. Hallelujah. And we're excited. Amen means so be it. Hallelujah. I'm just so excited that you prayed that prayer with us. We're going to go ahead and close out our service online and in-house. But if you prayed that prayer, leave a comment in the comment field on the Facebook page there and let us know you received Jesus Christ. You became a son and daughter of God today. We want to reach out to you, give you some material, put into your hands to help develop your relationship with God. We love you and bless you. We have service every Sunday here at 10 a.m., every Wednesday at 7, and prayer at 2:30, prayer every Tuesday at 6:30. So God bless you. Thank you for tuning in. We love you very much. Amen. How many in this house on a count of three? Let's just lift it up. One. Just want to lift a shout. Two. Three, ready? Woo!